Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
So we are in the middle of a sermon series called Jesus Didn't Say That. Last week, as you mentioned, Liz, it was, hey, does God really hear me when I pray? And I so encourage you to go back and listen to that. Great message by Pastor Adam. Even if you've heard it, go back and listen again. If you haven't heard it, jump online, check it out. I'm not going to give you the hints of what's coming next, but I'm just telling you, the next 2 weeks are going to be great as well. You're going to enjoy those thoroughly. But a video introduces every one of these sermons. Now, I won't go there. We'll just watch it. This is courtesy of Vintage Church in Cary, North Carolina. I'm not sure why they originally created them, but you know, I'm sure there's a purpose to it. We're using them for our purpose, which is great. So watch the video, and then we'll jump in.
Hello. Welcome to the first Christian church meeting. Here are the rules. Rule number one, spend all of your free time in church. Rule number two, you're not allowed to have any fun unless you're laughing at how dumb the devil is. Rule number three, wear t-shirts with my face on it. Rule number four, always smile and act happy. And finally, wear a stylish beard like mine.
Well, I knew it! Jesus! Oh, no one told me about this meeting! And nice try, Jesse. You said I could be a Christian if I gave up all my fun and grew this beard. Look at my beard!
Well, I heard that you missed the prayer meeting for a silly game.
But I had tickets to the Super Bowl, Jesus! That was incredible! The Israelites drove down, kicked the field goal, and the ref said it's good!
Be quiet.
No, well, football!
No.
I love football!
Yeah, I can't believe my dad showed up. How embarrassing.
Oh, crap, my fake beard fell off. They're totally gonna kick me out.
Wait, what's he saying? We're all going to play football or something?
Yeah, football, yeah.
All right, stop crying, rise. You can be a Christian if you promise to burn all of your footballs and never miss church again.
Promise? Yeah, oh boy.
Jesus didn't say that. So listen, if you're like us, Pastor Adam sent the video and said, hey, listen, here's the sermon series, here's the week you're going to be preaching, and here's the video, and we watched it as a family, and half of us went, oh, that's not right. And the other half went, that is stinking hilarious. I think both responses are probably right, depending on where you are in the spectrum or what you've experienced, but this is the sermon series, Jesus Didn't Say That. This week is, what does it mean to be a Christian? Now, and there's a title for that. It's good to think through that, but it's my thought, praying through that, talking with Pastor Adam, just magnetic church. What does it mean to be a magnetic church? Now, again, the church is not a building. A church is a gathering of people that are spirit-filled, the power of God in them, gathering together to worship. What does it mean to be attractive as a body of believers? Think about the church in Acts. I mean, you read in Acts as the Holy Spirit came, Acts 1, and then the people gathered together, and it says daily people were being added to their number. And the people stood like they were standing in awe of the people in reverence. They didn't want to, some of them were like, something special is going on there. We're just going to revere these people. And some of them were like, I want to know what's happening. It was a magnetic drawing experience with the church. That's how it ought to be. Now, give you a quick story about magnets. So when I was little, we used to go from our house to my grandma's house, about a 3-hour trip. As back through the country roads, there's a little bit of interstate action going on there. But as kids, my brother was probably 4, I may have been 6, I was a little older than that, 6, 8 maybe, something like that, but not much older. And we're driving, we have these huge cars back then, the LTDs or the Chevelles, you know what I'm talking about? And so this is how, there were no seatbelt laws back then, by the way, so we'd take our Samsonite hard case luggage and put them in the floorboard where your feet are supposed to go, and Dad would put a specially cut out sheet of plywood over that and put some blankets on top of that and throw us on top of that. And here we go, off to Grandma's house. Tonka trucks and Hot Wheels cars and Legos in the back of the car. All right? I'm sure there's reasons for airbags and seatbelts, but we had a good time in the back of the car. So we get down to Grandma's house. We made it alive, get to Grandma's house. But after 3 hours of in the car, we're like, we want to go play. We didn't understand why when we get to Grandma's house after being in the car for 3 hours or 3.5 hours, we got to sit and talk to Grandma for an hour. That's the whole point of going to see Grandma. Go visit Grandma. We didn't get that as kids. That's okay. I understand. 3 hours in the car, Dad had this genius idea. He said, hey, guys, I got you some horseshoe magnets. Big old, you've seen these? Big horseshoe magnets. If you're not, then just imagine it with me, all right? Shape of a horseshoe, it's a magnet, right? All right, so he said, here's what happened. This was before video games, by the way, before Pong even came out. But by the way, I just recommend dragging a magnet instead of video games sometimes. There you go, side message for you. But here you go. He said, just get a string. We tie the string around the magnet, put a little slip knot on a wrist, and we just drag. He said, good boys, go drag these around the farm. Now see, Grandma's property, it was a farm. Grandpa died a few years earlier, so the farm wasn't active anymore. But, I mean, I'm visualizing in my mind, there's a shed over here with the old farm all 1950s tractor, and a shed over here with, I don't know if it's an International Harvest or whatever. The big tractor was over here, and the milk barn was back in that direction, and the hay barn that we weren't supposed to play in was way over here. And there was all kind of stuff that those magnets would pick up after decades of being on the farm. So we'd drag that thing around. So our kids were like, oh, here we go. I'm just dragging this magnet around the farm. And we'd stop for a little bit, and it'd pick up, like, you know, screws and bolts and pieces of metal, but the coolest thing that those magnets would pick up was like that magnetic shaving fuzz. You know what I'm talking about? You ever been there? And so it gets this little pieces of just from years of farm implements and discs and everything else going across that those dirt paths. It would just little pieces of metal everywhere. And we're like, this is the coolest thing. And we started comparing, you know, I got more magnetic hair on my magnet than you do, and whatever else. And we'd stop and we'd take the metal off and we'd drag it again and get more and take metal off. But then we got bored one time and we're like, stick those magnets together. And we went, they don't make that noise. I'm making that noise. And we're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Pull them apart. Stick them back together. Pull them apart. I'm like, let's flip them over. And we went, oh, wait a minute. Now that didn't work. No, I don't care who you are, no matter how hard you push. You're not pushing magnets together if you push them the wrong way. You tried it? Flip a magnet over, try to push them together. Ain't happening. I don't care who you are. Here's what's interesting. We discovered that day that things that are naturally designed to attract can repel if applied wrongly. Let me say that again. Things that are naturally designed to attract can be a strong repellent if applied incorrectly. The same can be true for the church. With me? Magnetic church. What does it mean to be a Christian? So a lot of us come in with different backgrounds. I bring a whole bunch of baggage with me from church. You may too. You online may as well. Welcome online campus, by the way. Very glad to have you here. I just want you to know. And so as you're tuning in as well, I mean, you may have, in fact, I'm looking at you online church because a lot of you, like me, in certain cases, you're probably watching on church. Some of you may because you're like, I don't know, I've been burned by church before. So I want to check you out online to see who you are. Legitimate. I totally get that. You've all got your story. Some of you may have been like, man, if you'll just do the right things. That's the background you came from. If you'll wear the right clothes, you'll say the right stuff. If you won't do this and you will do that, if you'll just give enough, maybe God will have favor on you. If you don't do those things, man, I mean, well, you might lose your house, you might lose your job, your little dog Sophie might just get whatever, have to go to the vet. I mean, just all this like guilt or fear of the Lord. You been there? Some of you have. Some of you walked in that legalism and the God's going to judge you if you don't do things just right mentality. Jesus did not say that. Let's be clear. Some of you may be coming from a church as well. I mean, I've got some experience there too, where the church is going off the rails. They've decided that they're going to be like the world, and they're not going to teach what the Bible says to teach. They're going to teach what the world says to teach because it's more friendly to the world. Maybe they'll attract people in. Jesus did not say that. You may have been to a church that you've been burned out because of over-serving. I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve and be at church. Every time the door's open, I'm going to do these. Don't get me wrong. Serving Jesus is a great thing for the right reasons. You don't serve to be a Christian. You serve out of the overflow. But maybe you've experienced burnout because of the wrong, just like, oh, I've got to serve, and you're just tired. For me, one of the things, just being honest in the ministry, one of the things that that I walk into with church that has been like Jesus didn't say that is, and maybe you've experienced that too, that churches end up doing a great job of beating each other up. Well, that church teaches that doctrine. This theology, they teach that theology. Well, that church does baptism this way. That church, and that pastor, man, I don't know, have you seen that? Have you? And just goes over and over, and I got sick of that. Still sick of that, probably should be. Jesus didn't say that. So what does it mean to be a Christian? You don't have to answer that yet. We're getting there. But is it all the stuff we do? The service, attendance, what we wear, how we act, doing all that right, easy to control the outside. Man, what? There's got to be something else. On screen, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, I'm just going to talk you through. This is the Dan Nichols version. It's on there. I'm going to get it close. But come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is Jesus saying that. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want you to hear that. A lot of times that verse is described as, nothing wrong with it, but when you're tired, come to Jesus. Totally get it. But however, that is a very clear salvation message, and I'll tell you, explain that in just a minute if you've never heard it that way. Now, there was a difference between the religious establishment of the day, scribes, Pharisees, teachers of the law, and Jesus. I mean, the crowds they drew, what they taught, all of that. I mean, there are places over and over again. Look it up in the New Testament. Just Google crowds following Jesus, and you'll get dozens of descriptions of people that followed Christ. There was a time Jesus was teaching, and he was at the edge of a sea, and the crowds were so big, pressing in on him so much, he had to get into a boat and back up to preach to them. They were pushing him almost in the water. There was a time that Jesus was teaching, and he had finished his teaching, and he's like, man, I need some rest. We're going to get in the boat and go to the other side. The crowd saw where he was going, ran around the lake, came to the other side before he got there just to be where he was, over and over again. People ripped the roof off of a house to put their friend down at the feet of Jesus because the crowds were so big they couldn't get through. That happened over and over and over. What was the difference with Jesus? Back to Matthew 11, if we'll get that on screen again, here's how that looks. Let me give you the Dan Nichols Amplified version. Come to me, come to Jesus. Come to me, Jesus said, all who labor and are heavy laden with laws and rules and legalism and sin. And I'll give you rest from striving, from performance, from perfection, for working for God's favor, for trying to earn your salvation. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble at heart. It's a process of relearning, process of retooling, discovering the grace and the mercy and power, kind of like muscle memory. And you'll find rest for your souls as you engage in learning and relearning Jesus, the beauty of the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit. You will come to know the ultimate rest for your soul. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy because I've done the work, said Jesus. And my burden is light because I've carried it for you, says Jesus. If you had to give the gospel in one sentence, could you do it? You always hear about the gospel and the power of the gospel. Here's what it is. God gave his son Jesus to live the perfect life that we could not live, fulfilling the law, to die for our sin, paying the penalty for our sin that we could not pay, rising again, conquering death and hell for those who receive him to live eternal life with him. Awesome? All right, what's the work in that? Right, God gave his son Jesus Christ to live the perfect life for us that we could not live, to die for our sin, to pay the penalty that we could not pay, rose again, conquering death and hell, so that those who receive him can have eternal life with him. The only thing we do in all of that is to receive. Lord, I receive you and what you did for me. The rest is an outflow. God fills you with his Spirit, and everything else is a flowing out of that. Is that freeing for you? It's simple. It's believing. That's the work. Let me give you an illustration. We try to add so much more to it. My wife and I enjoy mountain biking. For our 10th anniversary, which is almost 16 years ago. Can you believe that? She's put up with me for that long. You know, you get married. Side note, sorry, this is a whole different side note. You get married, you're like, man, I've got an awesome wife. You get married for 20, almost 6 years, and you go, I had no idea how awesome she was at the beginning. Right? You there? Are you there with your right? Okay, marriage is awesome. It's worth celebrating. Our culture doesn't always do that. Celebrate marriage. It's good, and I've got a blessing of a wife. All right, so we gave each other mountain bikes for our 10th anniversary. Now, I say we go mountain biking. For those who know where we live, by the way, my family in Columbia, South Carolina says hello. We've got a lot of stuff going on in Columbia, so we had to split time. But they said hello and welcome. In Columbia, we don't have mountain biking. We have a little bump biking in through the woods. But we enjoy getting out in the woods. That's freeing for us. But my wife said a couple months ago, hey, listen, I want to go mountain biking at DuPont State Forest. You ever been there? Absolutely gorgeous. If you haven't been, make plans. Waterfalls you can play in, absolutely beautiful mountain bike trails. So we get to the base of this. We had no idea what we were doing. We saw the maps and we're like, okay, we'll figure it out when we get there. Cell phone service, you know, may or may not happen. So we get to the base of the mountain and we see people getting on their bikes and all this stuff. And we start talking to some of them and we end up talking to two guys there. And I've got the gear. I've got the helmet. I've got the eye protection. I've got my gloves and the bike shorts with the other shorts are my shoes clip into the pedals, all that stuff. These guys had helmets with GoPros. They had this like body armor stuff on their chest. They had knee pads, shin guards, elbow pads. And I'm like, should we be doing this? I mean, there's some other normal people like us, but I'm like, I don't know what these guys are doing. But all right. And they were giving us all this advice. So we got the advice. It took us about an hour and a half to get to the top of the mountain. Got to the mountain. I mean, it was exhausting, but the ride down was worth it. I mean, like, just flying down the hill. And we got to a point where I told Shannon to stop, and I got the cell phone out. I said, all right, come on. And she's flying past me. Then she gets to her point, and she gets the cell phone out, and I'm flying past her. We're having the time of our life. But behind us, this is a single track. I mean, there's no way to pass going down this mountain. So we're flying down the mountain, but we hear something bumping behind us, and we're like, I don't know what's happening. But we get right to the level off point where it gets to drop again, and we pull off and kind of back our bikes back in the woods just a minute by the trail. And those dudes with the body armor are coming down the mountain. I thought we were going fast. These guys are like jumping, coming down the mountain. I'm like, that's all you, buddy. I mean, they are flying down the hill. I'm like, that's no wonder you have body armor on. You know, you got a whole bunch of EMS folks in here. I was like, they can be all right. But they made it. They got down the mountain. They were good. Listen, some people are just built different, right? That's just, they can have that. I had fun. I'm not having that kind of fun. I don't like EMS in a helicopter at the end of my bike trail. So it's all fine. We had a great time. But there are folks that do that. Got friends that do the Ironman racing. That's just a different level. I have no desire to do that. Got Elon Musk. He said, not cracking on him. He's done a lot of good stuff. But he said, you can't change the world working less than 80 hours a week. Some people in the financial world and business world are just built different. I love my family. Just 80 hours a week takes a lot of time off of that. Got some friends that have done special forces stuff. I was talking to one the other day, and he had a buddy that went through Delta, and they were describing the whole process to get into all the special forces. And I'm like, man, they're just built different. I appreciate all of those. Just different than almost superhuman. Here's what's interesting. And there's a lot of folks in those realms that are believers. So don't get me wrong. But I've heard people say Christianity is a crutch. You heard that before? Okay. Here's what I think. I may be wrong, but here's what I think. These people have like superhuman athletic skills or superhuman business skills or superhuman like super soldier skills or whatever it may be. And that all the other underlings need religion to pull them back up to their level. Because they've got it on their own effort. They have like made it to the space travel or they've conquered whatever. You know what I'm saying? So they have, now you need something else because if you don't have what I've got, well, you need religion. Make sense? But they've missed it. And here's the deal. What they don't understand is that when people surrender to Jesus, the gospel, when they receive Christ as their Savior, they get the creator of the universe inside of them with the power to do incredibly beyond what they can ask, imagine, or think. Missed it. They're struggling with all they have, and they're good at what they do, but they've missed the God of the universe inside of them, filling them with his power to go and accomplish what he already created them to do. I was working out at the gym the other day, and there's this bank of TVs in front of me, finishing my cardio at the end of the workout, and there's like 20 TVs, and one of them had the Tour de France, or however you say that. I don't watch it. But, you know, those athletes there are phenomenal. They're going uphill at the speeds that I go downhill. You know, when your hair's blowing, you know, and you're just like hanging on and don't want to hit a bump. They're going uphill at that speed. Athletes are incredible. And so I'm watching these guys are going uphill, and they're pedaling for all they're worth, and then all of a sudden, some guys just muster extra energy and just bike in front of them. And then they go, and they bike in front. They're just killing it going up the hill. And then I watched this motorcyclist go, and get on camera, went around them. Nothing those bikes had compared to that motorcycle. All he did was this. You know, that's all he did. He had a power that was way beyond human ability. Those bikers were striving with all they had. And those two guys sitting on the motorcycle, they had so much power way beyond what the bikers were doing. They were striving with all they have. I think a lot of people in life have this incredible ability. This is why Jesus said it's so hard for a rich man to get into heaven, because they can depend on themselves so well that they don't need Jesus. They have missed it. If you're here this morning listening to that, if you're online listening to that, don't miss it. There's a power far beyond it. You're striving with everything you have because you're good at it. God has given you gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. But let the Lord fill you and take that to a level you've never understood. Jesus in Matthew 18 said, unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes that, I've gotten stumped with that. What do you mean? That set people sideways sometimes. But children, there's a childlike trust. There's a vulnerability. There is no way that that child can advance his or her own cause apart from help or direction or the resources of a parent. Listen, Christianity is not a crutch. It's an understanding that the design of the universe, understanding that God, who is the designer, made us, and he puts himself, the engine, inside of us to carry to completion that incredible design. I want to look you each in the eye. I want to look you in the eye online and say, God has designed you special and unique with a purpose that is far beyond what you can understand. And he wants to take that, him, inside of you, and just take you and say, I love you, and look you in the eyes and say, you are incredible. He said, I'm going to fill you. I am filling you. I filled you with my spirit if you're a believer. He said, let's go together. Let's go. Let's do some kingdom work. Don't ever think, man, my life is pointless. What am I good for? What am I used for? That is more and more common these days. I want you to hear that God has a purpose and plan, and he, inside of you, can change the world with you. There was someone I was talking to this past week that for the last 9 months to a year was like, I just don't know about going to church on Sunday. I have so much to do during the week that going together, going to church, it's like, that's a couple hours of getting ready and going, and then I'm however that's much time at church, and then I might go out to eat afterwards. And I've just lost all that time. And we've just been talking. Not legalistically, got to be in church to gain God's favor, right? Don't hear that. What is it, though, that God is doing? And it's really cool. Just last week, this person said, you know, I just came to a realization that if God designed it for us to be together, to gather as believers, if he said it, even if I don't understand how it's going to work, that if I come into his plan, she said, then I'm trusting it's going to work. Because if God said it, if I don't understand it, I'm going to trust that God knows what he's doing. Can't see God's hand, trust his heart. I'm like, yes, that's it, right there. Get in line with the plan. Instead, we're just fighting God so often. I'm going to go this way. That yoke thing, you know, I mean, what is a yoke? It's that piece of wood between two animals, oxen or whatever, that I think even Pastor Adam talked about that last week. Same kind of a deal. That, man, when the Lord is take my yoke on you, let's go together. Man, you got God going plowing with you? Go ahead. I'm just hanging on for the ride. Let's go. J.D. Greer in his book, The Gospel, said that instead of focusing on trying to change ourselves, focus on what Jesus did for us, and God himself, the Holy Spirit, will make us into who he's created us to be. So instead of like, I got to be fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You did that in children's church, Miss Carol. Instead of going, oh, I got to love, I got to have joy, I got to be peaceful, I got to have patience. You ever heard that? The don't pray for patience. If you pray for patience, God's going to stick you in a traffic jam. He'll give you patience. He'll make your children make your life miserable. He'll give you patience. Have you ever heard that? I hear that over and over again. Don't pray for patience. God's going to give you a situation, going to make you patient. No. Stop. Time out, 30 seconds, whatever. Here's how it works. You ready? Let me give you a quick illustration with three of the fruits of the Spirit. You ready? So instead of me going, I got to love people. That guy's a jerk. I got to love him. He's just pain in the I got to love him. I got to love him. Here's how it works. Jesus, you, the Bible says, love me so much that you gave your only son. If I believe in you, I'm not going to perish. We'll have eternal life. If you love me, I'm going to focus on the fact that you love me. Then God takes his spirit, his power in us, and supernaturally gives us ability to love people that aren't lovable. I don't have to muster it up. I got to love this person today. God inside of us gives us the ability to love that person. It's a whole different way, y'all. I'm telling you, at least it is for me, because I'm trying to work it out. I'm going to get away, take 2 hours of quiet time, because I'm going to have a meeting with Bob. You know what I'm saying? My own effort. How about if I just said, Jesus, let me just focus on what Jesus did for me. Sometimes I forget to do that. Jesus, you love me enough to die for me. And boy, I tell you what, there are times that I am not lovable. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Supernaturally, Jesus takes that. Holy Spirit, power of God inside of us, and gives us the ability to love someone else. Joy. For the joy set before him, Christ endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus, you looked at the cross and you saw beyond it. You saw every face that was going to come to know you. And you said, I'm going to the cross anyway because of the joy of these people coming to heaven with me. That's awesome. So Jesus, I'm going to focus on the fact that you saw the cross, but you saw beyond it to me. Jesus saw beyond it to you. And he counted all of that joy. Well, if I focus on that, the Holy Spirit turns my attitude different to the good situations and the trial situations. Seeing how this works? Patience the same way. Man, I mean, I don't know about you, but God has a lot of patience with me. I mean, there are reasons that God should have just gone, just flicked me off the planet at any time. Probably you too, just because we're all in the same boat. The amazing patience of the Lord, going, okay, God, you're amazingly patient with me. Thank you for that. God supernaturally increases the patience that I have with others in the situations. You seen how this works? My work is just simply to understand and believe the gospel, and everything that comes out of that is an overflow. And there are some of you sitting here today like me that go, that is too easy. Seriously? Yes, that's what it's about. Oswald Chambers said, when I'm born again by the Spirit of God, I know that Jesus did not come only to teach. He came to make me what he teaches I should be. Jesus didn't say, got to do this, got to do that, don't do this. That's a good thing. That's a bad thing. Now follow all of that. He said, here's all the stuff that will make you. He said, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. Here's how you walk in safety and security. Here's how you walk in love. He said, I'm not just going to tell you all these things. He said, I'm going to make you what I'm teaching you to be. How freeing is that? He didn't just tell us to do something. He goes, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to help you be the person you need to be. I'm going to make you who I'm telling you you ought to be to begin with. The Pharisees, last little illustration. They cleaned the outside of the cup, but the inside was nasty. You ever had a cup that sat out on the counter too long with something in it? And you send it through the dishwasher and you pull it out and you're about ready to get something to drink and you're like, oh, needs to go through again. Or got to scrub that thing out with a Brillo pad or something. Jesus described the Pharisees that way. He said, you clean the outside. You make the outside of yourself look good, but the inside is nasty. Got to confess, I spent a lot of my years of my life making the outside look good. I don't think I'm alone. Jesus said, you Pharisees, you're like whitewashed tombs. You paint the outside as great, but your inside is dead, filthy, rotten. So as we come to close, let me ask you a few questions. How's your inside? Have you spent your life perfecting the outside only now to realize that it's the inside that matters? Matthew 15 said, Jesus said this, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. You may be the best in the world at athletics or in your office or in business or in whatever field you do. But if you've just now discovered that all you've been doing is riding a bike when there's a motorcycle waiting to ride, God's got some good news for you this morning. The power of the Lord at work in those who believe. Here's the gospel. Jesus Christ came, lived the perfect life that I couldn't live, died for the sin to pay the penalty that I couldn't pay, rose again, conquering death and hell so that all who believe can receive him. Will you pray with me? This morning, you may have entered church just totally sick of church. I just want to tell you, and hopefully you've seen there's a difference. Jesus is saying, come. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. If you know this morning that that is you, that you need to come to Jesus, to give up trying to work your way to be good enough, or give up your arrogance for thinking that religion's a crutch, you want the power of God at work in you, pray with me. And here in this congregation, if you've prayed that prayer, will you just pray it together as we walk this through and affirm what we've already prayed. Jesus, thank you for living the perfect life for me. Thank you for dying for me and paying the penalty that I could not pay. Thank you for rising again and conquering death and hell. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Fill me, use me. I love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.